2 days ago, on Good Friday, is when we commemorated the death of our Lord Jesus on the cross. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave up his spirit and died around 3 p.m. on a Friday. After Jesus died, Pilate allowed the body to be taken by Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member of the Jews. Joseph took the body of Jesus, wrapped it in fine linen, and laid it in a tomb. And his care for the deceased body shows us that he had been a believer in Jesus. Joseph rolled a stone in front of the tomb, and we're told that some of the women, female followers of Jesus, were at the tomb observing this happen. And that brings us to our passage in Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 1, says, "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices, that they might come and anoint him." If we take the traditional view that the Sabbath lasted from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, then it is likely that the women bought the spices on Saturday night when the Sabbath had ended. They didn't actually go to the tomb until the next morning, which explains verse 2. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. The first day of the week is Sunday, which is why Easter is always on a Sunday and why we worship weekly on Sunday. It's the day of our Lord's resurrection. And notice that it says, the sun had risen. Isn't that interesting? That sounds like some foreshadowing of what the women were about to learn. So who were these women? And why were they taking spices to the tomb? You should know Mary Magdalene, a well-known figure whom Jesus cast 7 demons out of. But who were the other two? Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. There are some ideas, but we can't say with much certainty. It's largely held that Salome was the wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John, but we're not told explicitly. Some think that Mary, the mother of James, could have been Jesus' mother, Mary. But again, we simply aren't told. We can't be too dogmatic about who these women were because Luke's account says there were many women going to the tomb that morning, including a lady named Joanna. So we should imagine a larger group of women or multiple groups of women going to the tomb that morning. But Mark only mentions these three. What we do know for certain is that these women followed Jesus during his earthly ministry. They were faithful believers who loved him and who kept following him, even when he was dead. Think about it. He was dead, yet they were still going to him. They followed him to the cross and to the tomb. Anointing the dead with spices was a regular burial custom for the Jews. They would use spices as perfume to cover the stench of death. And this tells us that the women had no expectation that Jesus would rise again. They expected him to be dead and to stay dead, despite his many predictions of resurrection. His followers did not remember or didn't believe what he had told them. Even if they wanted to believe it, they were overwhelmed with grief, right? They had just seen their Lord beaten, crucified, and killed. That was the main thing on their minds. Verse 3. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" The women knew there was a stone because they saw Joseph of Arimathea roll it against the tomb. But they probably didn't know that it had been sealed and watched by guards. Matthew gives us the details about the sealing of the tomb and the guards, and that occurred on Saturday, the Sabbath day, when the women had already left the area. But still, they would need someone to help them roll away the stone. It seems somewhat humorous that they didn't plan for someone ahead of time. They've bought the spices, they've prepared them, they're ready to go, and on their way they realized that they needed help getting in. For whatever reason, that was a detail that they didn't plan for. But that didn't stop them from going. It didn't stop them from going to the tomb. They pressed on, believing that someone would be around who could help them. And sure enough, God would provide the help in the most unexpected way. Verse 4, "But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. By the time the women arrived to the tomb, the stone was already moved. The tomb was already open." From Matthew's account, we know that there was an earthquake. An angel descended from heaven and rolled the stone away. The guards saw that happen and they fainted. All of that occurred earlier in the morning before the women arrived. I also think the guards woke up and fled before the women arrived. When the women showed up, they just saw the opened tomb. Getting inside would not be a problem after all. It was already taken care of. But this discovery would lead to confusion and fear for the women. Because when they entered the tomb, the body of Jesus was not there. We might call it the empty tomb visibility day. Now, I want to mention that it's very possible that Mary Magdalene took off at this point. Mark doesn't tell us that, but it seems like that's the case from John's account. In John 20, when Mary saw the empty tomb, she ran to Peter and John and said, "They have taken his body and we do not know where he is laid." That implies that she didn't stick around to see what happened next. So one theory is that she left the tomb very quickly before anything else transpired. There might be better explanations for that, but that seems most likely to me at the moment. So the rest of the women, whoever stuck around, as they remained in the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, and they were alarmed. This young man was an angel, maybe the same one who rolled the stone away, or maybe a different one. Luke and John have two angels in the tomb, so there were multiple angels involved in this event. The angel was there to give them direction. He was there to give them the proper interpretation of the empty tomb. Verse 6, he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." The body of Jesus wasn't missing or stolen or whatever else they might have thought. The body of Jesus was alive and on the move. The place where they laid him was empty because he had risen. He was alive. He was resurrected. That was unexpected more than anything. And it's the good news that we celebrate today. When the women arrived, the sun in the sky had already risen, and so had Jesus, the light of the world. The angel continued, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Notice that, as he said to you. What was the angel talking about? He was talking about what Jesus said two chapters ago in Mark 14. Jesus said, "After I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." The angel was reminding them of what Jesus said all along, that he would be raised and that he would appear to them. He would reveal himself in his resurrected body. Eventually, they were to meet Jesus back in Galilee, where everything began 3 years prior. I think it's significant that the angel singled out Peter by name. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Why might that be? We know that Peter had denied Jesus three times. He denied being Jesus' disciple with swearing and cursing. But afterwards, it says he wept. He was sorrowful for what he had done. Could it be that the angel's singling out of Peter was to affirm to Peter that he would be restored? He wouldn't be left out. He wasn't done for. He would be forgiven. And he would continue to be an apostle. That would make sense with what happened later in Galilee. John 21 tells us that Jesus met Peter by the sea and restored him to fellowship and restored him to ministry. Go tell the disciples and Peter. How did the women react to this encounter? Verse 8. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Here we have amazement and fear, a mixture of emotions, and understandably so. You can imagine the panic they were in as they're trying to process all of these things. Could it be true what the angel told us? What's going to happen next? Will we see Jesus? Will Jesus or us be in danger because of this? They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. I take this to mean on their way to the disciples, they said nothing. They didn't tell strangers on the road. They weren't proclaiming it loudly. But we know that they did tell the disciples. The other gospels tell us so. They told the disciples, but the disciples did not believe them. Mark goes on to tell us that Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene. The details of that are in John 20. Mary went back to the tomb. She saw the angels, and then she saw Jesus. But when she reported that to the disciples, they still did not believe her. They would have to wait for their own encounters later in the day. And Jesus did appear. It's not as if the tomb was empty and no one ever found a body. No, Jesus did appear in the flesh numerous times. We heard about that from 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said that Jesus appeared to all the apostles and to over 500 people at one time. Jesus was seen and touched. People spoke with him. People ate with him in his resurrected body. The God who died a real human death experienced a real human resurrection. A resurrection to immortality, to never die again, to live and reign from heaven's throne as King of the universe. Jesus' resurrection was a vindication that he is who he said he was. He is the Messiah. He is the deliverer. He is the Son of God. And if you place your faith in him, he will give you victory over sin. Victory over sin, over Satan, and over death. Jesus was raised to new life so that you could have new life, so that you could share in his victory and his vindication, so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could one day be raised to immortal life. That's what we confess, that we too will be raised, the righteous and the wicked, the righteous to eternal life, the wicked to eternal damnation. Death will be swallowed up forever for everyone. But it won't be a blessing to you. It won't benefit you unless you are in Christ. Unless you have faith in him. Unless you are living repentantly and obediently. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15? You are saved by the word if you hold fast to it. So what is your reaction today to the empty tomb? Are you skeptical of it? Or do you believe what the angel said? Do you believe the eyewitness testimonies of the risen Jesus, Mary, the apostles, and more? If you believe them, eternal life is yours. You will reign victoriously with Christ, and you can trust him with everything. All the things that you forget about or don't plan for, like the women, it's okay. Because Jesus will provide, sometimes in very unexpected ways. Don't let the unknowns and uncertainties of life keep you from moving forward. Press on. Do what God wants you to do and trust him to provide. Believe that he will do that. But if you don't believe the testimonies, if you don't believe in the resurrection, then you will not be victorious and you will not have vindication. Your place will be with Jesus' enemies in eternal damnation. But you can avoid that by opening your heart to Jesus. If you're alive, there's still time. Jesus is a merciful King who loves sinners, even those who deny him. When you sin, when you doubt, when you deny, you can always be restored, like Peter was. It doesn't have to be game over for you. Jesus will always welcome you back when you humble yourself before him and repent. Rejoice this day in the resurrection of your Lord. Be glad in his salvation. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Almighty God, your Son overcame death and open to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we may arise from the death of our sin through the renewal of your Holy Spirit, and may hear and obey your living word of truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen.